In the second reading today, St. Paul talks about the faith of the ancients and tells us that their faith is well attested. And he gives us Abraham as an example. Abraham was called by God, and he was simply told to go. God didn't tell him where he was sending him. He didn't even tell him what direction to go. He just said, I'll lead you, just go. He had to completely trust, had to have total faith in the Lord and what he had revealed. Later, God promised that Abraham would have a son. And then once again, Abraham had to believe, because it didn't happen until Abraham was 100 years old and his wife was 90. Obviously, that's not normal. And it could only happen because of a promise, but in a situation that seemed impossible. Remember when I was assigned to the nursing home, in the chapel we'd have all the little ladies in their wheelchairs sitting all around the edges, around the perimeter. And I look at them and I said, imagine 90 years old having a baby. And they'd all laugh. I said, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But I said, that's what Sarah did too. She laughed. That's how Isaac got his name, Yitzhak. Means she laughed, the son of laughter. She didn't laugh for long because at 90 years old, she had a baby. God made the promise. He was faithful, but he was going to test Abraham's faith. We see the same thing in the first reading with the people of Israel when they are now in Egypt. They had been there for 430 years, and we're told that they knew the day that the Passover was going to be taking place. They knew it because Moses told them. Now you have to put it into context. What if Moses had just shown up? He said, look, God appeared to me out in the desert, flaming bush. He said, all you guys are supposed to slaughter a lamb, take the blood and put it on the doorposts and lintels of your house, and eat the lamb and, you know, all this sort of thing. Think they would have listened? No. Would you? But that's why those 10 plagues had to happen, so that the people could see that God said this is what's going to happen, and it happened. So when Moses then comes and says, all right, tomorrow night at midnight, there's a plague that's going to happen. All the firstborn in the land are going to die. But if you slaughter this lamb, you eat it in the Passover, you put the blood on the doors, you're going to be fine. And they trusted. They put their faith in what God had promised. And the angel of death passed over. Of course, we also know what happened after that. They march out in victory. They're at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians come behind them. And immediately they say, why have you brought us out of Egypt just to die in the desert? Like, really, where is your trust in God who did all these wonderful things? But then God opens the Red Sea. They walk literally right through the Red Sea with the water like a wall on their right and on their left. And a month later, they're making a golden calf and worshiping the blasted thing. Everything that God had done, their faith was so small. And that becomes important for us to look at, because we have to ask ourselves, how's my faith? Am I just giving lip service to God, but my heart is far from him? Or are we doing what Jesus said, that where our heart is, that where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be? Is he my treasure? Is heaven what is most important? Is listening to the promises of the Lord what is going to guide my life? That sounds pretty easy. But again, we look at it and remember Dives, the rich man that we read about in St. John's Gospel, who dies and winds up in hell, but Lazarus goes to heaven. And Dives calls out and says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the finger of his tongue, to dip his finger in water and put the water on my tongue and cool it off. And Abraham said, no, can't do it. He said, well, then at least send him to my brothers, because if he goes and warns them, they won't have to wind up in this place. Abraham said, look, they've got Moses and they've got the prophets. Let them listen to them. He said, no, but if only someone would go to them from the dead, He said, they won't listen to Moses and the prophets. They're not going to listen if somebody comes back from the dead. All right, we've got Moses. We've got the prophets. We've got the evangelists. We've got the apostles. We have 2,000 years of saints. We have the Son of God who took on our human nature and died for us and came back from the dead and told us the truth. And do we listen? Do we pay attention? Do we live according to his word? Do we believe his promises? He told us in the gospel that we don't need to be afraid. God has a kingdom for us. If we are faithful. Now we need to learn from that first reading, because we are told that in the midst of their slavery in Egypt, that some of the people of Israel had remained faithful to God, and in secret, they were offering sacrifice to the Lord. Why is that important? Because the things that are coming, we're going to be put to the test. There are lots of different things, but one in particular that is coming to the fore right now that we're hearing a lot about, you need to be aware of. They're calling it transhumanism. That literally means across what is human. Putting it in a very specific way, they're also calling it brain-computer interface. Hooking your brain up to the internet is what that means. And isn't this just the greatest thing ever? Because right now we've already got that sort of happening, except it's on this stupid phone that I have to carry, and it's so inconvenient, and I actually have to type something in if I want something, and you know, it's just a pain. If it's right there in my brain, isn't this going to be so much better? All I have to do is think about this, and it's going to be downloaded right into my brain. Boy, am I going to sound smart. I don't have to look at my phone and read what AI said. It's just going to be right there. How cool is that? It's not. It sounds great. That's what they want to present it as. In fact, what they are literally saying is this is the next step in human evolution. Now, first of all, there is zero evidence for macroevolution, zero. Plenty of evidence for microevolution, but this isn't even that. This is an outside intervention. This isn't you're evolving into something. This is something that they want to stick into your brain so that you can be hooked up to the internet. Now, those of you old enough to remember when the internet first came out, somebody had the brilliant insight that said the internet is Satan's attempt to play God, because all knowledge is going to be in one place, just like God. You recognize the lie? You will be like God. Isn't that what he said to Adam and Eve? And that's what he's telling you and me. We can have all that knowledge right there. Everything is at your disposal. It's happening. It sounds ludicrous. Deacon straightened me out after the last homily to be able to let me know that back in the Star Trek days, there was something that they were called cyborgs. If you ever watched that, you'll remember it was part computer and part human. Sounds totally idiotic. We're there. It's happening. And this is what they want to do to you. This is all a lie. But they're getting everything all set up for it. There was a Protestant minister recently who went on to one of these AI chat things, and he was asking the questions to AI. And as he went along, he started asking more specific questions like, were you invented to prepare humanity for the coming of the Antichrist? And the answer was yes. And how are you going to do that? Through deception, manipulation, and so on. Like, yeah. I still am amazed how many of us believe something just because some talking head on TV said it. They said it on the news, it must be true. Give me a break. They said it on the news, it's probably not true. But now we're even doing that more with AI, because AI couldn't lie. It's artificial intelligence. It's just going to tell us the facts. It's programmed. It's programmed by somebody who doesn't necessarily think the way that you do. There are amazing things that can be done with AI and with the internet. And there are some really, really, really evil things that can be done. So yes, you can use it for good, but be really careful, because the devil's very shrewd. He's not going to appear to you like a fire-breathing dragon. He's the smartest creature that God made. He knows that you would tell him to get lost. So instead, he's going to present himself in a way that's going to make it look like something you want, something that'll be good for you. Isn't this just a great thing? No, it's not. God gave you a brain to think. If you allow this to happen, it's no longer going to be your thoughts. It's a two-way street. It's not just you can think this and then it can download this into your brain. You can think it, but did it come from you? You won't even know, because it can take over. Don't do it. You're going to be thought to be a nut. All your friends are going to think, look, I've got all this knowledge, and you're just stuck with your brain. Be grateful you've got your brain, because God made you as a human being to be able to think and to choose. This is going to take that away from you. But it's worse than that, because we have to put our faith in the promises of the Lord. The promises that Satan is making sound pretty exciting. You will be like God. You will have all this knowledge. You will have all this ability. It's all right there at your fingertips. So each one of us has a choice to make. And we're not the first to make that choice. It has been presented over and over again. We heard it in the second reading. If the ancients wanted to go back to the land where they came from, if they wanted to go back to their false gods, they could have done so. Before the Israelites could cross over into the promised land, Joshua took them all aside and said, "Choose today whom you will serve. If you want to serve the gods across the Jordan or the gods of your fathers, then go and serve them. If you want to serve the Lord, then serve the Lord." Remember, Elijah got all the people of Israel together at Mount Carmel. And he said, if Baal is God, then serve him. And if the Lord is God, then serve him. It's one or the other. There's no in between. You can't keep playing footsie and saying, I believe in God, but I'll play the devil's game. No, no, no. You either, if Satan is God, then serve him. And if the Lord is God, then serve him. And if the Lord is God, then you must follow what you have promised in your baptism, that you would reject Satan, all his lies, all his empty works, all of his nonsense. This is where he's leading. Watch for 6G when it comes out, because that's what's going to allow them to do this. Tell them no. We have Moses. We have the prophets. We have the evangelists. We have the apostles. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come back to us from the dead, who has made his promises, and we are now going to be tested to see if we are going to believe his promises and if we are going to be faithful to him. That's what this is all about. And so I hope and pray that as we look back 3,500 years ago to Joshua, before they crossed into the promised land, and he challenged the people, as I mentioned, he looked at the people and told them what his decision was. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us will be able to say with Joshua, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."